Okay, we want to do the two synonyms now for redemption. By the way, did some of you decide to buy accordance?
It's four of us so far.
Oh, you might be able to deal with the guy.
Yeah, I know that. I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, I deal with him. Also, I don't have it in here right now, but if you are using a computer and don't know this, you might want to. You can have, like I've got accordance, two columns on that fill up my screen. Well, by the time I put my notes on there, it's crowded. I have two options. Get a bigger screen. If you know, big screens, however, are expensive. Very expensive. The other option is just get another monitor. And you can take the arrow, and you can move it right over to the edge of this screen and onto the other one. You can use two screens at once. With do you do that? No? There's something that goes into the keyboard. One keyboard can work on two screens. And, you know, your arrow, it's kind of funny looking. You move it over to the edge, and here it is on the other screen. And you just work back and forth just like it was one great big screen.
Do you have to have another computer?
No.
This monitor runs for anywhere from $100 to $500.
Yeah. And it's cheaper than buying a big screen. Yeah.
Do you have to be
referred
for what
type
monitors you get so that can you get a software and
it
doesn't fit on the monitor?
No.
The monitor
system. No, your monitors.
Yeah.
If you want to see a Jane has got a big screen in here. It's got a 20-inch screen. You've got a 15-inch, and I've got a 15-inch, and we've got another one with a 15-inch. And when I saw John telling about coming across Ex Agorazo, may I remind you that the jewels are for the diggers, only for the diggers. And sometimes you can dig and you just get a couple of them a day and you just be on cloud nine. Then you'll go a week. Dry land. But it's always rewarded. And so if I can preach at you for just a second.
Jeff,
yes?
On something like Ex Agorazo, how would that appear in the course? Would it be under Ex Agorazo?
Uh-huh.
So you're going to miss all of those if you just do Agorazo?
Uh-huh. Yeah, if you do Agorazo, you'd miss them. But now, you ought to be alerted. When you have a verb, always ask yourself if it may have a preposition on the front. It just might. Just skimming down through a page of the interlinear. Oh. They're so abundant. I just arbitrarily pick up Galatians 3:23. First word, pra, before. Hupa, law, under law. We were guarded. Ruamai with epi on the front. Epi, ruamai. Being shut up. Soon, Clio. Clio with the word soon on it. Two, ace. The about, to bring about faith, to be revealed. Apa, calupto. They're all over the place. Very common phenomenon. That's why we spent 2 hours on it. And I realize you might have thought, well, boy, that was boring. But it's essential. It's essential. And that's where a teacher just has to kind of say, now trust me, this is important. and usually you have to have someone tell you that it's been there, then you know. Let's take a quick look at Proverbs 2, and then we'll get back to redemption. Proverbs 2. And I'll do nothing more than make a brief comment on this. This is one of those if-then passages of Proverbs. And notice the first four verses are all if. If you will, if you cry, if you seek, and if you search, then verse 5, then. And I'll simply read it to encourage you to take what you've learned and dig. And I would say, I would still say with my study time, 75% is sweat. And you get a 25% reward. But it's like the diligence of, you see down at the slots, down at the riverboat, you see women sitting there poking in all day long. What are they doing? Just hope I'll get a hit. And sometimes, and I don't mean to be, for this to be taken the wrong way, but sometimes the Bible study can be a lot like the slots. You poked a lot of quarters in. Didn't get anything today, did you? But keep going. It'll pop.
Don't you think, you mentioned before, go away from it sometimes and just think after you
And the idea of it can come to you while you're driving your car. Yeah.
When you relax,
right. So chapter 2, and this is relevant to what we hope you're going to learn to do. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments with you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. By the way, in verse 2, who's in the driver's seat? You are. Appeal to volition. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Why would you have to make your ear that way? Because ears are filled with foolishness, and if you don't get a hold and get in the driver's seat, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for his hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. It's a great, I read this frequently when I'm just a little bit not quite ready to get into study and say, look, there's wonderful reward, but you're going to have to get in the driver's seat. You can't let your mind wander. You got to be in command of your ears. There has to be prayer, and you have to dig and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. Now go to work. And that's hard to do, but it's a discipline. Now, go back to the last, 2 Peter 2 on Agarazzo.
Was that devotional?
Yes, that was the devotional for the day. 2 Peter 2, 1. By the way, you'll get a lot of surprises when you do word studies, because you're going to be discovering that a lot of the things you've heard are nonsense. There's a lot of it out there. And let me show you one of the first things in preparing for the weekend with Greg Durrell on false teachers. One of the first things I thought, well, I need to go to a concordance and look up the word false and collect all the passages with false teachers. And I went and made a discovery. The word false teacher only occurs once. So I thought, well, I've always talked about false teachers, and that doesn't knock it all out, but maybe I better be more... You know what the proper word is? False prophets. And what is the difference between the idea of false teacher and false prophet? False prophet has the idea of, does it not, of revelation? And how many of your cults and false teachings are based on extra revelation? From a prophet who spoke? And so once again, with a concordance and a word study, you get your mind turned around and you learn to think differently and you learn to think biblically. After all we're trying to do in Bible study is think God's thoughts after Him. And that is the most healthy thing we can ever do. Think God's thoughts after Him as they're recorded in the Word. So, coming to chapter 2, verse 1, false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers. That's the only occurrence of it. False teachers among you, and will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. And there again is our word agorazo. Now, I want you to do a little word study for me with the word master. And here's where you're going to go. You're going to go to Luke 2:29. Acts 4:24, 1 Timothy 6:1-2, 2 Timothy 2:21, and Titus 2:9, 1 Peter 2:18, 2 Peter 2:1, Jude verse 4, and Revelation 6:10. Now, I want you to go to these passages because in 2 Peter 2, even denying the master. And this is going to show how a word in Greek can come over into English and assume a totally non-biblical meaning. And you have to get rid of that. Because the word translated master is despotes. Despotes. Transliterated D-S-P-O-T-A-S. Despotes. Now, I don't think you need me to tell you that that word comes over into English as what? Despot. Is that a good connotation?
Not at all.
A bad connotation, isn't it? A despot is a bad thing for anyone to be. However, in this passage, they deny the despot, and of course this is Christ, who bought them. Now, here's what our assignment is. Let's get the word despot understood in a biblical sense, and it occurs in these following passages. Go.
So, what confidence do we have the texts that we can buy, you know, have access to are pretty much in line with the old
fragment? Well, Alan Black has used the best of their judgment to bring the manuscripts readings they feel are correct into the text. Are you familiar with their textual commentary?
Black?
The committee that made choices has published a book saying, here's why we chose what we chose. You ought to have that.
Because all I know is Westcott and Bort and Nestle. And
no, you ought to. They do a nice job of explaining, here's why we selected the reading we have. And it's a textual commentary. See me before you get away. You ought to have that. I'll show it to you before you get away. Okay. Okay, someone like to... we're looking for observations. What did you see with the word despotes? First of all, would you agree that the bad sense that we always associate with it in English, the word despot, has to go for a biblical meaning? Our understanding of it is not biblical then. Okay. Did anyone note how many times it's used of deity?
Three, six.
Three, six, okay.
Four or five.
Okay. Here we have a good basis for a new denomination.
five or six?
Three. Six?
Six.
Okay, then let's straighten out the disagreement. Let's give the... okay, let's give the small number first, and then you counter with why you think it's a bigger number. What's the small number?
Three.
Where?
In Luke, Acts, and Revelation.
Do you agree with those three?
No. Well, yeah.
Luke, Acts, and Revelation.
Yeah.
Okay, now would you read the passages that you think they missed?
2 Timothy 2:21.
2 Peter 2:1. Okay, you guys, did you miss them or you disagree?
Well, they're dealing with a sovereign master, all right. But the three passages, Luke, Acts, and Revelation, deal with as Jesus, with the Lord himself, as a sovereign Lord.
Yeah.
And Revelation deal with God as the master, old master. But the rest of these passages deal with the conditions of man and the power of the sovereignty of Lord over a believer to overcome.
Okay. Lau, you've got something.
The difference is that the Luke, Acts, and Revelation passages, two of the three are prayer addressed apparently to God the Father. The 2 Timothy, 2 Peter, and Jude are in context are the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got a difference in person.
Okay, so in some places they are clearly a reference to Christ.
Right.
And others, he is addressed as such. Is that what you're saying?
It's more contextual than addressed, direct address.
Okay.
There's actually three groups. God the Father, Christ,
yes.
And man as master.
Yes.
Okay, do we agree on those categories? The Father, the Son, and man. Okay, now that's a good classification. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
If you read in context around the verse, you find that you have to treat God as first master and then be obedient also to the earthly master. But God comes in my reading first, which enables us to be honorable and Christian witnesses under the masters that are set over us.
Okay. Let me ask this. When despotes is used of God and then it's used of man, what is the difference? There's an obvious common point, and that's an exercise of authority, isn't there?
Yes. Yes.
What's the difference? Is man a despot in the same sense that God is?
In man, sure. Someone uses a title that where your testimony is to be to God before your human master.
Okay, would you be willing to say this then? When it's used of man, it's a derived authority. But when it's used of God, it's an absolute authority. Okay, so now what can we do? We can take the three classes, and now we can divide them down into two other categories, absolute and derived. Does that make sense? Okay, more than come to a conclusion, do you get the hang of what we're doing, what we're trying to do? We took the whole, collected all the passages, then broke them down into deity and humanity passages, then broke the deity down into the Father and the Son. And may I ask this, could you break the man category down into good and bad? Evil and good?
That's assuming, because in the text it doesn't say if it's a good or bad master. We're assuming.
Okay, then it is not provable.
One says. One says,
could be either.
One says if the master is a believer, he must honor those who are under him.
Well, if you got something like that, then apparently that human despot goes into believer and unbeliever.
Uh-huh.
From what you seem to be saying, that's a category. Yes, Lau.
Maybe it's provable or unprovable contextually. textually, but are masters entitled to be called masters because they're masters of firm believers? The servants of those masters are believers. Is that a qualification that makes them masters?
I don't know. Do you get a feeling of absolutism? I mean, absolute authority over those rules?
Yes.
Yeah. Why does it have a bad sense in English? Because when men have absolute power over men...
Because when man is in control,
he's a monster, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
To me, with regard to despot, the man sense and the God sense.
Mm-hmm.
Here were people coming in who were taking away, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you, among believers. They are godless men who changed the grace of God into a license of immorality and denied Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So
okay.
God, no matter what these people do, I mean, they're desperate.
Okay.
Yeah, God is still sovereign.
They're not the ones that are called master.
No, they're, but I was talking about our use of the language versus the Greek's use of the language.
Okay. But our use of it as something bad is a commentary on human nature, isn't it?
Yes,
exactly. Interesting commentary on it. You said one other thing that I wanted to pick up on. If you had to go to all these passages, is there one that you sense is, you use the word key passage, is there one that you sense is key in that it gives you more information about a despot than others? Or they all seem to be pretty much... You think Jude?
Wait. Despot in the Greek sense, or the
in the biblical sense? Yeah.
Luke. I mean Luke and Acts. And
yeah.
Are the keys of that?
Okay. Never give up asking why questions. Why is this word used? Why didn't they use? I'm not asking for an answer to this. Why didn't they use the word kurios? That means Lord. Okay, when you have two words like that, despotes and kurios, what do you call them?
Synonyms.
See if Trench does anything on that, or someone else does anything on it.
What being like, I looked up the Greek meaning of the word kurios.
Lord.
Lord.
What does it mean?
Kurios is the title of Christ.
Okay, remember it was also a required of Christians that they call Caesar Kyrios. And there were a lot of Christians that died as martyrs because they wouldn't say Kyrios Caesar. Okay. It is. So always ask, why did he use this word? Why didn't he use another word? You look at the book of Hebrews. Why aren't we told the author? Why did he do that? How does that fit the theme of the book? Ask questions. That's the genius of Bible interpretation, is ask questions. Okay, now you may want to, and I see Bob picking up his vines there, you may want to, and you would want to, read some word studies such as vines. But I would encourage you to do this. Do your own first, like we did. Do your own first. Now you come to vine, and you've got a criteria. And you might want to ask, does vine handle all of the passages?
He did in the Master.
Yeah. If we look, if we pick up a Greek dictionary like Arden Gingrich, do you think it used will refer to all those references, whatever number that was? No, it won't. That won't. See, that's why a lexicon is better than a dictionary. You don't know whether the dictionary ever considered this passage or not. Okay, that's. This was just a practice run.
Did we pass?
As a group. To me, if I can just get you to collect, categorize, and break it into its parts, you're learning to be perceptive, and you're learning to observe. And apparently you did that very well. Yeah.
Taking this from Vine,
despotes.
Despot.
Uh-huh.
Despot is a much stronger
Agreed.
Word than...
Does Vine compare the two words?
Yes.
Okay, be worth reading. Yeah. No, but that's a good contribution. It'd be worth reading. And why would you want to go to Vine? Because he is a very adept, observing scholar. And you want to share, see if he's got any insight that you didn't have. That's the value of a good book. Okay, 5:45 supper. Tonight, and I need to answer to one thing. Jane says you guys seem to be pretty light on breakfast. Traditionally, the last day, Wednesday, she does the full root, like biscuits and gravy. Are you interested? Will you eat?
We'll choke it down. We'll try and get it.
Okay, can I have hands?
I think so, the big question is, will you be here?
Yeah.
Oh, good choice.
I ain't gonna be here. I'm not here.
She'll probably just cook some sausage and biscuits and gravy and what have you. So give me hands if you are going to be here. One, two,
three,
four, five.
But we only eat cereal.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't let us bug you on food like that, because I don't give a hoot what I eat. So, but if you have cholesterol worries, I bet you get an ulcer before I do. Okay, we'll see you tonight.